Welcome to DT Madness, Chronicles from the Third Life, Episode 87, April 21st, 2024. So glad you could make it. Well, I guess welcome to season three of the madness. This is actually the first episode since renewing for another year on the Podbean and with the DT Madness logo. I forgot that I had to pay for that as well. But don't worry, it was auto-renewed. But yeah, over 3,000 listens as of episode 86. So I really do appreciate it. I should have had the sound effect, the cheery sound effect for over 3,000 listens. But settle in for another year. We'll try to make it a little bit more consistent as we roll on week to week here in this third life. I'll start off with episode 87 with my health goals, and these are things I've talked about over the past little while, but I'm crushing it right now. I really am. And I guess my peak in terms of LBs was at the end of January. I've talked and not really joked about how I really kind of went on a eating binge, a sugar binge, and after my dad's funeral. And I guess that was one of the ways I was coping. I don't have a lot of other addictions anymore. And so food is one of them, especially sugar. But yeah, since then, my little line, I dabbled in Noom, but I never did actually pay for Noom. But I still am able to use the app. And so I do weigh in each morning. And I logged my meals for a little while. But I'm pretty much eating my overnight oats, which I love so much, and they keep me pretty full through the morning. And I've been drinking cachava for a long time, but kind of as an afternoon, whatever, you know, as an afternoon meal, snack, there's the word. But now I'm actually using it for maybe what it's supposed to be used for anyway, and I use it, and I just drink my cachava smoothie at lunch. I put the powder in there, but also and vanilla, because I'm a vanilla guy. But I put blueberries and spinach and some frozen avocados, and sometimes I'll toss some peanut butter in there as well if I want to get real crazy. And then that keeps me pretty full through the afternoon. Sometimes I'll have my dark chocolate snack, 70% or higher with the cacao. And but yeah, and then eating the bowls with the Mediterranean style diet mostly for supper time. And that's really been working well for me. I like it all, and that's good too. I eat radishes now and massaged kale, and who am I anyway? But I've been exercising too, nothing major, just walking, strength stuff when I can. But also now that it's springtime, I'm getting outside more. And so definitely averaging over 10,000 steps a day. I think I got close to, you know, 17,000 yesterday. So all of that is definitely adding up. And, you know, it's just what they say. I feel better too. And not only physically, but like the mental discipline that it requires has also been really good for me. I am a little upset because the Apple Move goals on, you know, I wear my Apple Watch for my biofeedback, and it's stuck. Like, you get a special little badge if you get 365 move goals at any time, and I'm on 309, but it's stuck on 309, and I haven't, like, it should be on like 327 or something like that now. So it's a little bit. I've even started Google. I'm going to have to write a strongly worded letter to the Apple fitness people. I say mostly discipline. I love desserts, man. And I really like vanilla ice cream. And I really like it with coffee poured over the top. Affogato, I believe, is the proper name. It is, there are not many better flavors in my life for that. And sometimes and most nights I'll have the I call it the Yellow Bucks box of ice cream. I can't remember. It's not Satterfield's. That's an old restaurant in Shelby. Anyway, whatever kind that is, homemade vanilla. I get a bowl pretty much every night. It makes me happy. It releases the happy hormone. And I found that out when I Googled if it was okay to eat ice cream every night. And the second site I found said it was okay. And I stuck with that. If there were cookies or brownies or stuff like that, I would definitely pile them into my ice cream. So, thankfully there aren't many of those going around right now since our birthday seasons are over, but I'm getting closer to my goals most every day. Aiming for goals where, in terms of LBs that I haven't been at in maybe since college, and so that's pretty good. I'm rejuvenated teaching as well. Like I found this extra gear in teaching, and part of it is because I've been going in to school usually at about, I mean, usually I'm there no later than 6:30 a.m. for a start day when I don't get paid until 7:40. Now lately I've been getting paid to do some AP review, and so that keeps the incentive up as well. But so I've been staying after some, as also, but getting there early and getting my mind right and having time to prep and do all that kind of stuff and think about new ways to do stuff. I've been trying to be innovative and coming up with new games. I got a beach ball in my little special bag for a teacher appreciation night at softball, and I blew it up, and I've got a hula hoop, and we've been just shooting to see if you can land it, and it's got to stay in there, but you got to get a question right. And but I just been back to acting pretty crazy and saying off the wall things and telling them stories about me and about what I think about life. Don't worry, I'm not going over any lines. For those of you who are keeping tabs on whether or not I'm indoctrinating your kids, if I could indoctrinate them, I would have them bring a pencil to class every day, and maybe wear some deodorant. But yeah, I've been pouring myself out, man, for into the classroom, and that'll continue up until at least May the 9th when AP Psych exam is. But that's my main identity. I did wear my proud public educator shirt yesterday to Webstock, where when I was there for a little bit in the Trump Republican booth that was set up on there. I could kind of feel them. I don't know. They probably were judging me. Maybe not. Not sure they're in favor of public education, but I digress. I'm also looking and trying to find some new music. And if you know me, like I'm pretty stubborn with my music. I mean, I listen to the Grateful Dead, Widespread Panic, Phish, Acoustic Syndicate. I try to get into Dave Matthews as much as I can. I mean, there are others, like, but once I settle in something that I really like, and this goes beyond music, then I get basically the same thing. I eat the same thing every day for a long time. I order the same things. I go to the same hotel in New York, because it's the one I like, and of all the thousands of how many ever tens of thousands of restaurants in New York, when I go up there, I go to the same place, and that's just how I am. And so that's how I am with music as well. But this album, by Ballroom Thieves, and I had not heard of them, but it popped up on the new releases on my Apple Music, and so I gave it a whirl, and I really like the first track. The first track is titled "Everything Is Everything," and I kind of enjoy thinking about that sentiment. But also, I really like their style. I don't know if you know who Joe Pug is, or Mandolin Orange, now called Watch House, and Bird Talker a little bit, but they've also got this soulful flair. The guy sounds like a little bit like James Taylor. I'm not trying to say their music is like that, but they've got good lyrics that make me think about stuff, not just about breakups or, whatever, stuff like that. which guy are they talking about now? You know, like it's not, I'm not into that. It's different sounding, like it is a duet and they got great harmonies, but they throw this pop flair into it. Anyway, I jumped into the Ballroom Thieves catalog and I don't like all of it. I don't think it will become to the top tier of the music that I listen to. I won't just put it on repeat and not ever skip. But I like a good chunk of their catalog, and they're coming to Greenville, South Carolina. And so I might have to go down and explore Greenville a little bit. And I'm going to see my friend Rory down there, who I haven't seen in a good while. And we're going to go to, it's a Wednesday night show. And then I'll have to come back on the Thursday and teach up the kids. So that's going to be, I'm a little bit old for that. I mean, you know, but still, I still do like the music that I like. And Fish has been playing at the Sphere in Las Vegas. I am, after this is done, going to go and begin to listen to last night's show. I've listened to the first two nights already, and then they'll play again tonight. And I've seen some videos from my friends who are there about how amazing the Sphere is. I'm sure it doesn't mean anything through an iPhone video, but yeah, that's listening to that has got me my desire to get back on the road, like at really high levels, and starting to look at how can I piece together some of these other shows in the summer, and hopeful for what they might do in the fall, and already thinking about going back to Madison Square Garden. And at the end of December, because man, just I don't know, I love it. I love being in hotels with, you know, with fancy robes and showers with the towels inside and two beds, one for me to sit on and one to sleep in, and walking in and out of the place like I know what's up, you know, being up there in New York or wherever I'm at and being by myself in a sea of people, and nobody knows who I am. You know, and so I can just be me, and I like that really a lot. But anyway, I've a little bit of a handyman update, but I've been more active outside as well. I got myself a pressure washer, and because it was time to redo the deck, and it was tough because it was a dark stain that was on it from the last time. So it took some effort, and me figuring out which nozzles work, and me figuring out things, you know, without really reading directions much. But I got it done, and I got the new stain on. I haven't done the rails yet, and so it does look kind of funny because the rails are still dark, and the desert tan is the flavor for the deck now. But it rained a whole bunch yesterday, and all that water is pooled up just like it's supposed to, not sucking down into the wood, and that makes me glad. I pressure washed a little bit of the front walk, and then actually just wrote the name DT Madness into the front walk, so I'm sure I need to take care of that either today or tomorrow. To of course, not like a whole bunch of people are going to be around judging my front walk. I have to give credit to Isaac, man, for the handyman update phase. He's our cabinet door, our kitchen cabinet door, kind of came loose. The screws and the screw holes got too bored out over use, and so the bottom hinge just kind of came off, and I came home yesterday, and the dude is standing up on a stool, and he's putting anchors into the holes, re-screwing in the brackets with the hinges with precision and care, ways that I would not have done it, and it works beautifully. Like it's perfectly matched up, and so he is definitely the true handyman of the household. Oh man. But just thinking about all these kinds of things, this rejuvenation and all this. Another thing I've started doing is writing a letter. Not writing it in hand, I'm not that old school, but I am typing it up and then printing it out and mailing it through the old snail mail up to Boone, to my kid. I thought about it when we had our van totaled after a deer incident. And you know, the van was paid for and all that kind of stuff, so that worked, that was great for the total settlement and all that. But like I knew I had the document that was the title for the van, and I had to send that in to the insurance company to settle with them. And it was easy for me to find, like I knew where it was, but it wasn't like wouldn't have been easy for anybody else to find. Like for me to try to describe what my organization process is. If you've ever seen my teacher desk at school, it's very much like that. Like it's there's a madness, as it were, and I settle in that, and I feel that like there's order in the chaos for me. But I just thought I'd start writing to Sam and letting him know, like, here's some things that you should do and consider as you begin to move into the more adult phase of life. And so the first one was just keep these types of documents in a place where you know where they are, where they're secure and easy to find, because you could get other ones, you could get another title, you could go through that hassle, but the moment where you need it, you're already in a hassle, and so you don't want to double it up. And so I was just telling him those kinds of things, but also how proud I am of his leadership style and all that kind of stuff, and the way that he's teaching and ready to go on, and how amazing he's going to be at whatever he does. But because I think in some ways, even though he's 20 and I'm way older than 20, we're at similar stages of life, LYFE. And, because we're kind of in this moment where transitions are on the horizon. They're not here yet. He's still a college kid. I still got my own kids here at the house. But on the horizon, things are going to be different. And he'll be settling into the workforce and his career choices and all that kind of stuff, and beginning to live on his own. And we will be here with a house that doesn't have, high school kids running around very often. And so hobbies and new things are on the horizon, and it's kind of intimidating and unnerving in some ways, but also really exciting as life progresses and continues. And so I thought that I would set that up for him. We did get to go up to Boone City, and I went up to Boone to see Acapelageddon. They have the Acapocalypse in the fall, and then Acapelageddon is the showcase for all the acapella groups up there at App State. And so we drove up, but you can't get to Boone going up on 321. You got to go around Blowing Rock on this road called Blackberry Road up through, I forget the name of the knob. Oh wow, it was like 4 miles of driving on the edge of a mountain where there isn't a guardrail, and that would be fine and it would be beautiful if you could take your time, but cars are being diverted coming both ways, and there's like a one lane bridge, and what the heck, man. So that was really something. When I went up the last time, I just went through Linville Falls, which maybe is the new way to go anyway. Oh, we've also been visiting colleges. We visited Furman and Elon, and now Sydney has her eyes on Campbell because she's thinking about pharmacy. And Campbell has a pharmacy school, and so we're going to visit out there. Man, I know when we got to Elon, I really like Furman too, but when we got to Elon, it just brought it back to me, like, I haven't thought about wanting to be at college in a long time, but man. And so I've been giving speeches to the kids about how college is so much more than they can even imagine. They're thinking about parties and the social life and all that kind of stuff, but the academic community is a real thing, and I hope that Sydney finds the right one. I tried to reach out to the town of Elon's mayor, because I was really impressed with the way that their town kind of incorporates itself into Elon. And we really need some work with that here in Boiling Springs with Gardner Webb. The relationship is not, I don't know, maybe my email went into her spam folder, because that's what happens to a lot of mine, or you get so many. So I'm gonna have to call her up. She's about the same age as I am, and our stories are similar, except for the fact that I think she probably makes $100 billion working for TIAA CREF, and I make like only about $10 billion working for Crest High School. So, but yeah, let's do this. Been a while since we've had the halftime music playing, and I don't really have too much. I just been entertaining some questions from people, some suggestions about what should be on the podcast, and so I've tried to think about some top fives, and I really struggled with this, but I try to think about words that I don't like. I hear people say that they don't like words sometimes, and that words gross them out or whatever. And I will say that one of the words that I don't enjoy is adulting. I don't like that. Like, come on, man. Adulting. Okay. I don't really like the word pajamas. I don't know why. I don't know why. I told the kids at school that, and they were like, "Well, what do you call them? PJs?" And I'm like, "I don't call them anything. I don't know. Like, I don't. I guess I don't have like a separate silk set of, like I don't have a whatever. But adulting pajamas, and I don't like the word era or eras, and that's probably a Taylor Swift thing because now I hear all these people like talking about, well, this is my era for that. And I mean, I know I've got my third life going on, and so maybe I'm being a hypocrite here, but what are you going to say? Because look, there are words that I don't mind. Like moist seems to pop up on the top of a lot of lists when you Google words that people don't like. Moist is up there, and I don't n understand the problem with that. I don't know. Moist is not a problem for me. Somebody asked me what my favorite teaching moments were, and I can only think of one. When I really think about it, there's only one that really pops out. And it's early days, and I might have told this story on here before, but it's worth retelling because there was these early days of teaching psychology, and it wasn't AP psychology. It was just a standard level course, and we were talking about the chapter on motivation. And the chapter on motivation has three components. It has hunger, it has sex, and it has work. And in both of those, there are intrinsic motivations and extrinsic motivations, or inner desires and desires that are fueled by, you're hungry and your body says, "I'm hungry," but also you drive by the place and you smell the, whatever the smell is from the Japanese place or Burger King, whatever your flavor is. But and so I was telling them how there was a connection between, these intrinsic and extrinsic drives with both hunger and sex. And this female raises her hands and she says, "I know that's right. Every time I have sex, I get hungry." And I'm like a brand new teacher at this time, and I didn't know what to do. Of course, the class erupts, so I just put my head down on the desk and tried my best to move on. So yeah, there was that. What books do I want to read? I've learned this new acronym, I guess. TBR means books that I'm hopeful to read, and the books that I'm hopeful to read is I want to read the Patrick Rothfuss books again, the King Killer Chronicles. I want to read Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear. My friend Orth and my friend Donnie both are reading them again, and with anticipation that the final book of the trilogy, The Doors of Stone, will be released sometime later this fall. And I'm probably going to wait until that becomes more official before I actually jump into it, but that will be very exciting. I've said this before, and I do have a copy of it because my friend Matthew gave it to me. But I do want to read the work Les Miserables by Hugo. And I want to read some more by Kristen Hanna. I think I want to read the one called Four Winds about the Dust Bowl era. Maybe The Tennis Partner by Abraham Verghese, because I really did like those other two. I'll probably pick that one up. But then, there's just I want to read one like Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. A book that I wouldn't expect to really like because it's about gaming, and stuff like that. But that was just really, really fantastic. And so those are ones that are on my horizon. Actually, I just saw another one that I can't remember what it was. So we have a lot going on. We took a trip down to tennis, to we took a trip down to Charleston to see the Charleston Open, the women's tournament on clay. The kickoff the clay season, and top players in the world. Jess Pegula was there. Danielle Collins was rolling there, still crushing it. And who else did we get to see? Those are the two main ones that we got to see that were winning. We saw four matches because we were there for the quarterfinals. Drove down early that morning, and so got up at like 6 and rolled down, and then drove back and got home at about 1 a.m. And it was amazing, except for the fact that there was this group of wine drinking women, both in front of us and behind us, who wouldn't shut up. They wouldn't shut up. Like, and I'm fine, like talk to each other and that's fine, but like during the points, during the points. And the reason why tennis is amazing is because you're not supposed to talk during the points. And so everybody just gets to watch. But anyway, we will definitely plan to go back next year. We've been wrapping up Isaac's tennis season, and the regular season is over, and the kid ended up 4-3 in singles as the number one seed as a freshman in conference. And so very, very exciting. We move on to the conference tournament on Tuesday, and hopefully Wednesday. If we can win two on Tuesday, then we advance to day two, and also the regionals, which will be on May the 3rd. And then on May the 3rd, we'll head up to Boone to see the final concert of the season for a voicemail. They do this Sound of Silence. Oh yeah, it's nice. They make it nice and eerie. Oh yeah, that's good. The season was great, man. It ended with talking about Isaac's tennis. It ended, the last doubles match that was going on was the two doubles, and they were down, and they mounted a comeback. And all the other guys on the team, we have 15 guys on the team, so 13 of the other guys are on there, arm in arm, like locked up, cheering every time our guys would win a point, rallying them on. It was really good, man. It really was great. And that's because the coach, Todd Peeler, he engenders that kind of camaraderie. He teaches the boys about tennis, but also about, real life stuff. And now it's my turn. After this conference tournament's over, I'll be the next head coach. And so, some things I've been thinking about is, Isaac and I both have very fiery temperaments, especially when it comes to competition. And so I've been trying to let him know that when I'm coaching you, when I'm making a suggestion, that I'm not criticizing you, because he can get really defensive, and then when he gets defensive, I get defensive, which is not a good combination. But one thing we've been talking about is desiring the moment. And that's beyond tennis, but like you should crave the chance to be tied up at the end, and where this point could decide it. You should desire that pressure because you're prepared, because you've done what you can do to be there. You've done what you can do to be ready for this AP exam. You've done what you can do to be ready to whatever it is, to run this meeting, or to deliver this presentation, or to sing this song, whether it's at a concert or at karaoke, whatever. Like you should desire the moment. If you're prepared. Recognize what's going on and work through it. That's another phrase that I've talked with Isaac about, because he does get wrapped up in the emotions, and he gets so angry when things don't go his way, and that rage just boils and tightens him up. It tightens him up, and he's not able to perform as well as he would if he were looser. I mean, that's sports. It's easy for me to say. It's sports, it's life. But if you can learn to recognize those emotions and what's going on physiologically there, and then figure out how to work through it, and then even use it, then when you get freed up, you can feel the flow. And then that obviously feeds on itself. But again, I told him, as soon as he figures out how to do all that kind of stuff, to let me know. Because here I am, halfway through my 40s, more than, and still trying to work on that. I was sent an old by a friend, an old friend of mine, sent me a song, and it was called Saudade, and it's Portuguese. And I listened to it, and it is just amazingly beautiful and haunting. And then I looked up the word for it, and what saudade means. And it's this longing for things that you know that you probably won't even be able to long for again. You know, like the things that are it's a beautiful word, and the more I got into it and reading about it, I would read native speakers talk about how really the word's been misconstrued and what's all in it. And so the whole chasing down the word thing for me has been really amazing too. But this longing that's what we wish was there that isn't anymore and probably won't be kind of thing. And that's had me thinking because that's me. I feel that. I feel that. It's not just me, but I mean, I feel that. I'm a living Lotus grad now. Least temporarily. I wrapped up my counseling sessions last month or so. And not that I am done doing the work, but the intense sessions that I went through for about 14 months there came to a close, mutually agreed upon by me and the therapist. In fact, she had to really let me know that it would, you know, I was hesitant. I was hesitant because I don't want to fall back into any of those other thought patterns or you know whatever. And but yeah, I there's a Black Crowes song that is talking about seeing things for the first time, and the song is not really about what I'm talking about, but it just feels like that. Like I'm 46 and things are clearer to me. And I don't know. I guess I have to think more to more on that. I got a small tiller, an electric one. You got to plug it in. It's supposed to be here today. Sydney loves to plant sunflowers, and she planted a row, a couple of rows last year, and they grew, you know, to what, 6 feet tall. They were amazing to look at all season. And so she's ready to plant them, and so she's ready to dig it up. And we don't have a whole bunch of garden tools, just manual ones, but not even really the proper ones. And so I bought a tiller for her because I was sitting out there, just a relatively cheap one, to plant rows of flowers, nothing major. But I was sitting out on the deck, my beautiful desert tan flavored deck, and imagining her planting those sunflowers, but imagining that those sunflowers will, you know, that I'm gonna have to be the one planting them in a couple of years. You know, maybe not. Maybe she'll come home and plant them, and then that'll be a great reminder. But I mean, I got into my feels, man. I got the sads a little bit. I got to thinking about, like I talked about, you know, being in this new phase of life that's on the horizon. I'm not trying to fast forward anything away, but it's a real thing. It's been interesting, like with friendships, some friends that I'd guess I didn't think would circle back around have kind of entered into the picture again, and that's been pretty cool. I thought about reaching out to another of my old friend, but I don't know, man. I just got to thinking, like, was I trying to just be gracious, or was I just dwelling in this need for for affirmation? And so I decided to leave all that behind. Some relationships you just need to leave behind. But some of these new friends that I've been, you know, seeing at tennis, and our boys play tennis together, and helping me out do some handyman work, and my friend Rory that I'm gonna go down to see the Thieves with, and you know, perhaps going to see one of my good friends on his 50th, and a blast from the past. I've got to write up these questions for an old friend who's about to graduate with a degree in family law, and she needed to interview an elected official, and I'm one of those. So, yeah, I mean, you know, relationships are interesting. They go through their seasons, which I almost added that season to the list of words I don't enjoy. But yeah, I mean, we get busy. Life happens, and so there are ebbs and flows to how close or not you are to people. There's physical distance, and you know, it's all that kind of stuff. And I have learned to really thrive, I think, being alone. There's an AP seminar excerpt we've been reading about that. No man is an island, though, also, as John Donne says. Now I'm babbling. But I guess I'm trying to work through all this kind of thing. I have been outlining writing, and I really am going to try to tackle that this summer. Really, really get into writing what I guess would be called memoirs, not even necessarily for anybody's consumption, but just for my own healing processes and thinking. Maybe I'll let you read it, maybe parts of it. But the first part is about my days with widespread panic. A lot of the Second Life, hundreds, at least 120 something shows and a million hours listening. Used to ride on and get to where I was going in a daze, but now I've got to stop and go along the way, So yeah, a whole bunch of what those experiences were like and the different experiences that I had through all that, but used to ride on. That'll be the first chunk that I write about. I've been thinking about consciousness. I was walking through the hallway the other day at school, and knowing that I'm older now, like my arm hairs are turning white, or they are white, and I noticed that now that I got a pretty good tan. But I'm just older, and I'm not the young and hip dude that I was. Now I'm the old and hip dude. But I still am full of myself in a teacher way, and walking through the hallways at school. And I just recognized that, and I had this flash of thinking about what was it like for my dad when he was 46 and he's walking around campus at Gardner Webb. That same type of vitality, that same type of full of life, excited to be there, happy to be here, to interact with the students kind of thing. And I wonder how close my consciousness is to what he experienced. And it can't be totally, understand that. But I do wonder how close our consciousness is sometimes to each other. Really getting off the rails here. Just so you know, I'm not trying to take myself too seriously. I think I'm gonna cut up some jeans and make myself some jean shorts for the summer. And you should look up Bob Weir jean shorts. He's a singer for the Grateful Dead, and so I'm thinking about really shortening them up and going many inches above the knee. Not Daisy Dukes, but like Bob Weir jean shorts. I did wear my Birks and my bow tie last night to the prom. So yeah, prom, Webstock was yesterday. We got tennis regionals. We got AP reviews still for another couple weeks. Budget meetings start soon for the town, and that is going to be wild because the numbers are going to be very tight, and we're probably going to have to raise some taxes, and people don't like that. So yeah, I think already if this pace keeps up that my Halloween costume is already set and that I will be a zombie. But the best kind of zombie, with the good zombie face. And this is what I'm here for, this is how I want to pour myself out as this third life evolves, as yeah. It's good stuff. Well, this rambling season three opening episode of D2 Madness is brought to you by the, excuse me, it is a production of the Church of Six and brought to you by the Bucket of Life, the Rope of Relationship, the Foundation Tower of Stone, the Wall of Belief, the Token of Hope, This Too Shall Pass, the Magic Rock times one, one received and one given. Nothing divine is desperate. And in order to be, try to never seem. May all your circumstances serve to awaken compassion, and as you go, teach peace. Don't forget to believe, y'all, and be live. Grace and peace, my friends.